Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Ayin Hey Umar Aleph. The Gemara is going to continue describing the Braita that we actually brought in the previous Gemara and the discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about whether there's a Rishon and Sheni when it comes to this Ubar. Is the Ubar considered to be a single entity with the mother and therefore it's Mekabel Tum'ah as a single entity? Or is it considered to be a separate entity and therefore the Ubar will accept Tum'ah on a secondary level? Whatever the mother's Tum'ah is, they'll drop down one level for the Ubar. So one of the proofs that was brought was a Braita that speaks about the fact that the Ubar needs Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma. It needs Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma, so it passes through a river, and then it goes to the Beit HaKvarot, and then it'll become or accept Tuma. So Rabbi Yochanan says, according to me, it makes a lot of sense. Why does the Ubar need a separate Hechsher, the Kabel Tuma? Because I think it's a separate entity, the Kabel Tuma. Whereas according to you, Reish Lakish, it's a single entity. If the mother was mukshar the kabel tuma al yedei the dam of the shkita, then the ubar as well was mukshar the kabel tuma. Why does it need a separate hekshar the kabel tuma? Reish Lakish's answer was, we're speaking about a shkita yveshta, talking about a case where it's a dry shkita, and not according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says the shkita is enough. You don't even need the dam at all. Talking about a case where we do require, according to those Tanaim, they require dam for the hekshar. Over here was a shkita that was done without any blood. So now Gemara wants to know, Mantana, who's the author of that position that Avar Benahar Hukshar? Halach the Beidak Farot Nitma. Who's the author of that position that if it goes through the river, that's enough to make it Mukshar the Kabel Tuma, and then it goes to Beidak Farot, becomes Tameh? Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi. This is the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Detanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Mitamei Tumat Ochlim, Vitzarich Hechsher. This Ubar requires, this Ben Pekua, even though it's alive, it has a status of Ochel, even when alive. And therefore it can be Mekabel Tumat Ochlim, alive, which is something that otherwise does not happen when it comes to Behemoth. Animals in general are not Mekabel Tumah as long as they're alive. This Ben Pekua, which again we spoke about yesterday, is like a walking dead animal, a walking shachut animal, and therefore it will be mekabel tumat ochlim. And so Yosef Lili says, number one, it's matamei tumat ochlim, and number two is, it's tzarich hefsher. Chamim amim, ena matamei tumat ochlim mipnei shu chai. Chamim say, this is like any other animal. Animals that are alive do not mekabel tumat, are not accepting of tumat. Being alive is an antithesis of being mekabel tumat. Being alive is tahor. Only when you're dead are you tameh. But Rosi Aglili says this animal is effectively dead because you can eat it, and therefore it is mikabel tuma. So the Gemara Chachamim stay with the position. B'chol shuchai ena mitameh tuma tochlim. V'azdei roch Yochanan l'tameh. Yochanan is l'shitato. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, u'Beit Shammai amru dovar achad. Yossi Aglili and Beit Shammai are of the same opinion. Rabbi Yossi Aglili hadamran. Yosef Galili is what we just stated now, that position of Rabbi Yosef Galili is that it can be Mekabel Tuma, this Ben Pekua, even while it's still alive. That means an animal, while it's still alive, if it's classified as being dead, then it has Tuma Tochlim, even though it's yet to be really dead. U'Beit Shammai Amru Davar Ched, and Beit Shammai as well, which is Beit Shammai Ditznan, the Gim, Meimetai Mekablim Tuma. From what point do fish become classified as food? And then they can be mekabel tuma tochlim. So Beit Shammai omrim mishit zodu, from the time that they are captured in the nets. Beit Hillel omrim mishiyamotu, once they die. Beit Akiva omer mishah shein yocholim lachiyot, from the point in time that they can no longer live. And in Beit Shammai's opinion, you see, is despite the fact that the fish is yet to die, still has a classification of ochel once it's captured, once it's trapped. Once the fish is trapped and it's going to be pulled out, it's going to die. Since in the end it will die, that's enough to classify it as ochel. So Rabbi Yochanan suggests here, Beit Shammai and Rabbi Yossi Aglili have that same opinion, that an animal, while it's still alive, because its end game is to be dead or as if dead, will be classified as being dead. So Rabbi Yochanan's explanation here, it's important to understand that we had a machlokas, remember, in Ben Tisha Chai, you find a live 9-month-old fetus inside of the animal. We had an armish machlokah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir holds that that requires shchita, and the Chachamim said that it does not require shchita. That's called a ben pekua. Rabbi Yochanan, by telling us that the Chachamim, who argue on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the reason for the fact that they are mitaher, that they disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, could be for one of two reasons. They could disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili because they could hold like Rabbi Meir, and therefore they require shechita for this animal, and that's why it's not mekabel tumah. But we see from Rabbi Yochanan states that the position of the Chachamim and the reason that it's tahor is Now, Mitnei Shuchai can mean because it's alive, meaning like Rabbi Meir, and it requires Shkita. Oh, Mitnei Shuchai can mean because it's alive, meaning that even though I hold like the Chachamim that does not require Shkita, the mere fact that it's alive is not Mekabel Tumah. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan explains to us, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan the Shittatei means. That the Chachamim that argue on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's not because they hold like Rabbi Meir. It's not because they hold that this animal needs Shkita. They hold like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that it does not require Shkita. Nevertheless, they still say that it's not Mekabel Tumat Ochlim because it's alive. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan suggests over here to us. Rabbi Yochanan parallels that position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili with the position of the Beit Shammai over here, to tell us that Shema Minah, from that position that we see, that he compares it to Beit Shammai, that the Rabbonon, who are mitired by the Ben Pekua, La Mishum Desvile Datun Shkita Rabbi Meir. It's not because of that. Di Tamayu Mishum Datun Shkita Hu Inu Nami Bidagim Talab Tanunim Shkita Modu De Tamu Ke Beit Shammai. Because if it was true that the reason the Chachamim say that it's not Mekabel Tumah by the animals because they hold like Rabbi Meir because they need Shkita, then here by the fish, they should have agreed to Beit Shammai. Because Beit Shammai, when we're talking about fish, fish do not require Shkita. So since fish don't require Shkita, even Rabbi Meir would agree in that instance that they don't require Shkita. And if the Chachamim subscribe to Yossi Aglili's position that an animal while alive could still be Mekabel Tumah, it's just that the problem here is that it needs Shkita, then by the fish, where it doesn't require Shkita, they should have held like Beit Shammai. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan aligns the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Beit Shammai teaches us that it's only Rabbi Yossi Aglili with that position, only Beit Shammai with that position, and the Chachamim would disagree, it's not because they hold like Rabbi Meir, but rather because they fundamentally disagree with this position, that something that is alive can be mekabel tumat uchlim. So now the Gemara wants to know, my benayu. When the Gemara asks over here, my benayu, they're not asking what's the difference between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. It's obvious what the difference between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is. Beit Hillel needs the fish dead. Beit Shammai just needs a capture. The difference is between Rabbi Kiva and Beit Shammai. What's the difference between them? Because Beit Shammai says, Mishitzodu, once it's captured. And Rabbi Akiva says, Mishash ein yacholim lachiyot. From the point where it can no longer live. So what's the distinction between those? What's the point in time that Mishitzodu? Or in the time that it is dead? And then Rabbi Kiva is somebody in between. So it also could be a differentiation between Rabbi Akiva and Beit Hillel. Just a question of where Rabbi Akiva sits between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. When is that point in time? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, dag mikarta ike benayu. A fish, and as Rashi says, mifarper, flopping around. A fish that is brought in and is still flopping around. But shiaveshbo kasela. That there's already a portion between the ben snepi rav. Between the fins, there's already a portion along its skin where it's dried out the size of a sella. Detulo chai. So it no longer will live. Even if it's thrown back into the water at this point in time, it will not live. So that's the point in time. For Beit Shammai, the threshold is the point that the fish is captured. The threshold for Rabbi Akiva is from the point in time where the fish can no longer be thrown back in the water and survive. Once a point, the fish goes beyond the point where it could go back in the water and survive, at that point it's considered to be dead, even though it's still moving around. And as Tosafot says, he quotes from the Oroch, that Mikarta is a Lashon, Koach v'chiyut gadol, strength and lots of life. I mean, it's showing a lot of feistiness and life. That's when the fish flaps around. When you bring in a fish, it flaps around for, even on the line or on the boat, when it's in, it starts to flap around until it finally dies. But Rabbi Akiva says it just doesn't actually have to die like Beit Hillel. It just has to be the point where it's irretractably going to die, because even if you throw it back in the water, the fish at this point will not survive. Okay. By Rav Chista. Noldu bidagim simanei trefa mahu. So Rashi says this question is the shita at Rabbi Akiva. According to shita at Rabbi Akiva, that when an animal reaches that irretractable point where it will die, for fish at least, then what is the din of trefa? See, tibay lamanda imar trefa chaya. This is a question according to one who says that trefa can live. And it's a question as well to the one who says a treifa cannot live. We did earlier in the Masechta, whether a treifa has the ability to live or not to live. Even according to the one who says that a treifa can survive, that's true by an animal which has a large or has a lot of life force to it. But by fish, where they do not have a huge life force in them, if they become a treifa, then maybe they would die. Now this is important for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that's the threshold at which point the fish is considered to be dead, is when it will no longer survive. So if you believe here that the treifa cannot survive, according to Rabbi Akiva, that would be classified as being dead. Odoma, avilu mandamar treifa enachaya. Maybe by treifa enachaya it cannot survive hanemila behema. That's by behema diesh bemina shchita, because it has shchita in its category, and therefore treifot are relevant. Since they don't have any shchita associated with them, treifa is not relevant. And therefore the Gemara leaves that as a teiku. Teiku as to what the status of treifot are in a fish, agliba de Rabbi Akiva. Liba de Rabbi Akiva says that irretractable, if the fish reaches the point of irretractability, that it will die for sure, and it's a treifa, does that make it to the point where it will die for certain? If it will die for certain, then according to Rabbi Akiva, the fish is classified as if dead. What's the issue? Why would you connect the two? Maybe because by an animal, you need the shechita to be the cause of death, and not the treifa. By fish, it's irrelevant how the fish dies. So that might be why. If it requires shechita, it's going to die because it's a treifa, not because you did shechita on it. Whereas by the fish, it's irrelevant, because as long as the fish is dead, you can eat it. So maybe there, the treifot are not relevant. Next, hitila nefel. The animal carrying a fetus and then miscarries. The nefel that exits this behema. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, chilbo kechilev behema. The fats of this animal have a din of the fats of a behema. We know when it comes to the chilev of a behema, they are asurim. So too with this fetus, the same is true. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, chilbo kechilev chaya. It's chilev as the din of a chilev chaya. The chilev of a chaya is mutar. So machlokas between them about this nefel is whether Rashi points out chilev chaya. So a chilev beima would make it that your chayav karet, because the iser for eating dam and for eating chilev is karet. On the other hand, if the chilev is chilev chaya, then the chilev becomes irrelevant. And now what we have in front of us is a carcass or a dead animal. A dead animal has a din of nevela, which is an iser lav. So then the consumption of the chilev in this will be like the basar of the nefel, and it'll be chayav, a chiyuv lav, and not a chiyuv karet. Machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Ish Lakish about here with the status of this chilev. This chilev, if you consume it, in iser karet, or is it just an iser lav? It's an iser karet if you classify it like chilev of a behema. It's an iser lav if you classify it like the chilev of a chaya. What's their logic? What causes the chilev to take on a status of chilev, for it to be classified as a behema, is once it comes out into the world. Once it's exposed from the mother's womb, it's outside. Once it's outside, it has that classification. The determination of when it gets the status of chilev is once it reaches full gestation. Got to reach the termination of its being in the womb, the end of the 9-month period for a cattle, then it'll be classified as chilev. Before that point in time, it is not classified as chilev. Now, Rashi points out, Tosfot also takes pains to show this, Rabbi Yochanan over here says, avirat garim, that its exposure to the air of the world automatically makes the chilev into something that's asur, that Rabbi Yochanan is not necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. We had yesterday a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that by a ben kua, the chelev is problematic. Whereas by Rabbi Yehuda said that when it comes to a ben kua, the chelev is mutar. Is Rabbi Yochanan disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that a chelev is not a problem. Over here, Rabbi Yochanan says chelev is a problem. So Rashi points out, Vafilu do Rabbi Yehuda damar leel kelbo mutar, hatamhu do lo yatzel avir. That's because it had yet to be born. It's a ben kua. Shkita of the mother took place while the animal was still inside her womb. So the chelev was nitar, ayudei the shkita of the mother, while the fetus was still inside. And therefore, the chelev remains mutar because it did not become exposed before the shechita was done. Over here, the nefel is expelled from the mother without any shechita being done on the mother. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan over here is going to say the chelev is problematic, despite the fact that Rabbi Yehuda before said that chelev is okay, but that doesn't mean that Rabbi Yochanan is not in congruence with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And even though Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim believe that even a full-term animal inside is a ben kua,
if you take Hanashim Garmi,
right,
there won't be a reason to say it doesn't apply.
Doesn't argue with Rabbi Yehuda? It's because Hanashim Garmi is only when there's no shkita done on the mother. Because then the fetus is an independent entity. But if you do shkita on the mother, then it remains a limb of the mother, and then it's not independent. So Chadashim Garme is only, again, you can say the same thing, only when the animal is expelled without the mother being nishkat. Alright, so now, the Gemara has a ikadamre, a different way to formulate this machloket between Rabbi Shlokesh and Rabbi Yochanan. Everybody agrees, if it doesn't reach full gestation, full term, it's nothing to talk about, it's not chelev. Ki plige, heichi dehoshid yadol, the mei behema. Person stuck their hand into the womb. Petalash chelev shall bentet chai. Plucks off some chelev from a 9-month-old fetus that's alive, vachal, and eats it. That the chelev has the status of a chelev b'ma, chadashim garme. That over here, the term, going to full term, is enough to determine that this chelev is real chelev, and you're going to be chayav. Shimon Galagish amar chelbo kechelev chaya. Again, the chelev is a chelev chaya. Chadashim ve'avira garme. You need both. You need chadashim, you need full term, and you need it to come out to the avir olam before it's classified as being chelev. Again, this doesn't argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi points out, go out of his way to show this. Toshid yadol chadashim garme became into kalulu chadashav chelbo asur. Umihu, ki shachta li'imo, if you shach the mother, shari le Rabbi Yehuda. Mikol abeme bibehematu chilu. That's exerda katub. Anything found inside of the mother, when there's a shechita on the mother, is mutar. Even if it was chelev, classified as chelev, but because of gzeirata katuv, it will take away the Easter of chelev. So again, Rashi says that machloket here between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlokesh is not relevant to the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir before, because Rabbi Yehuda in all those cases says shchita, that's it. You do shchita, and it's matir everything inside. Over here, we're dealing with cases where there is no shchita. So when there is no shchita, the determining factors might be different than when there is shchita. Question of what the status of this item is. Is it basar min achai, or is it a classification of chelev when you eat it? That would be the machkumina between them. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're eating chelev, which means it's a chiyuv karet. And according to Rish Lakish, you're eating basar min achai, which might be under bal tishachsu, might be an isur lav associated with eating something basar min achai. So now, etavei Rabbi Yochanan the Rabbi Shim ben Lakish. Ma chelev ushtei klayot hamurot be'asham. Why does it write chelev and shtei klayot by the asham? Motzei miklal shaliyot. So over there it excludes the shaliyot. Af kol motzei miklal shaliyot. So too, everything else is excluded from the shaliyot, from the fetus. So now the limud that we're speaking about here, Rashi quotes it, it's a limud from Torat Kohanim. Torat Kohanim wants to know why by the asham does it specify which fats go on the mizbeach. And it says over there, the chelev and the shtei klayot go on the mizbeach. So if you look at Rashi, chelev and shtei klayot, it's opposite the Gemara that we're in now. It says, b'torat kohanim shnuya. This is a brighter in Torat Kohanim. Bishlamim, when it talks about shlamim, it says, et kol chelev asher la kerev, velo et shalil. It says that the chelev that is on the kerev will go, but not that of the shalil. Yakol lo yehe ba'onesh v'azhara. I would think you would get no punishment for it. Oh, well, yehe ba'amud v'akrev. So fine, the fats of the fetus, you will not be violation of an isur if you eat them, but nevertheless, you still have to put them on the mizbeach. Kshomer chelev shtei klayot ba'asham, by the asham, it mentions chelev shtei klayot, she'ein tamud omar, that was not necessary. D'mar shlamim she'ein kol minam ta'un aliyah, by the shlamim, where the animals don't have tails to them, and that there's some animals that don't have tails to them, and those fats are not required because it doesn't have the tail. Alright, they require that the chelev and the shtei klayot, the chelev and the fats, and the fats around the kidneys be placed on the mizbeach. Asham. Shekol mino ta'un aliyah. By the asham, that all of its meaning require the fats of the tail. Inutin shi'itoon chelev shtei klayot. And certainly, it should require that the chelev and shtei klayot are put on the mizbeach. So ma tamal omar. So why does the pasuk by the asham say that you have to bring the chelev and shtei klayot? Omar lecha. Ma chelev shtei klayot omer v'asham motzeh miklal shalil. Just like the fats that are required from the asham are only from the Asham, not from the fetus. So too, any fetus that is found inside of a Beima, their fats will not be required to be placed on the Mizbech, and that there's no Isur with regards to those fats. How do you know that by an Asham that the Shalil is excluded? Because an Asham can only come from a male Beima, cannot come from a female Beima. So for certain, there will be no fetus inside of the Asham. Since there is no fetus inside of the Asham, therefore, when it comes to exclude the fats of the Asham, Shtei Klayot and Chelev must go on the Mizbeach, those of the fetus are not required to go on the Mizbeach. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's question to Reish Lakish. According to you, Reish Lakish, I don't understand. The Pasuk says, we'll go back now to the question in the Gemara, Eitavei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Ma Chelev Shtei Klayot Amurot V'Asham, Motzei Michlal Shalil, come to exclude a fetus. Avko Matzah Michlal Shalil, so too all fetuses are excluded. Bishlam Adididi Hano District Krok. According to me, you need a pasuk, limute, because I think that these fats are real fats. That you're going to have a chiyub karet associated with these fats, and therefore I need a pasuk to tell me that you don't have to put them on the mizbeach, that they're not, even though they're normally considered chelev behema, over here, the gabi mizbeach, they're not considered chelev behema to be put on the mizbeach. Elo didach, according to you, Reish Lakish, amay yitzrich. Why do you need a pasuk to exclude them? According to you, they're not even called chelev. If they're not called chelev, why would you have a havamina to place them on the mizbeach? Why do you need a specific pasuk to come exclude them? So Amar Lei, so Reish Lakish's answer is, Tama Didi, Nami Mehocha. That's my source. What's my source that chelev in a fetus is not really called chelev? From that pasuk by the Asham. The fact that the Torah excludes that type of fat from place on the mizbeach indicates to us that chelev is not chelev behema. So Rabbi Yochanan challenged him from that, but Reish Lakish says, that is the source for my position. Vike Damre, some say that it's the other way around. The question was posited by Rav Shimon ben Lakish. It says, Eitve, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Ma chelev ushtei klayot amurot ba'asham, motzei michlal shalil, av kol motzei michlal shalil, bishlam adedidi mishum hachi mi'atatei rachmono. The pasuk eliminated chelev over here because it's not called chelev. Eladidach, the karev. According to you, why don't you put it on the mizbeach? If it's called chelev, according to you, why isn't it placed on the mizbeach? Samalei, midid haba mechuser zman. Says it's no different than a mechuser zman. An animal that is born is not allowed to be put on the mizbeach for the first days after it's born. Now, is that animal ruhi al mizbeach? Yes. The animal is completely ruhi al mizbeach in terms of its physical being, in terms of its chelev, in terms of everything else with it. There's just the mechuser zman. It doesn't go on the mizbeach, because the Torah says it has to be 8 days old before it ends up on the mizbeach. So too over here. Even though it's chelev, even though it's full-fledged chelev, the Torah says you don't have to put it on the mizbeach. There are instances where something is fully qualified from its physical makeup and from its shame, but yet it still doesn't go on the mizbeach, like mechuser zman. So too over here. The chelev is full-fledged chelev. It just doesn't go on the mizbeach. That's what the Torah says. Don't put it on the mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Yami, Hashochet et HaTreifa. So now the Shechita is done at Treifa. Umatzaba ben tet chai. And you find inside of it a live 9-month-old fetus. The Divreya Oser Matir. Or the Divreya Matir Oser. So Rabbi Yami suggests over here, it's an interesting idea. Before we had a machloket, when you find a ben tet chai inside of an animal. Ben tet chai found inside of an animal, according to the Chachamim, the Shechita of the mother affects the fetus, and it's called ben b'kuan, it's kasher. It doesn't require shkita on its own. On the other hand, the Rabbi Meir believed that a ben tet chai requires its own shkita, its own independent shkita. So now what do I have over here? I have a mother who is nishkita. Behema, that was nishkita, the mother, but she's found to be a treifa. That shkita for the treifa is good enough to mitaher midei nevela, but that's not a shkita that is mater b'achila. So now I look at the fetus inside. The fetus inside, now I want to eat this fetus. Well, the only way to eat this fetus is if I can do a shkita on the fetus separately, because it needs its own shkita. So now it'll turn out that their opinions will be reversed over here. The Chachamim will say the shkita of the mother makes it that the fetus does not require shkita. Now you have a fetus inside that doesn't require shkita. It cannot be nitar al yedei the shkita of its mother, because the mother's shkita was only good enough to eliminate the problem of nevela, but wasn't good enough to make it mutar b'achila. So now I have a behema that's not mutar b'achila, but shechita will not be effective in it, because it no longer requires shechita. So that's what he says here. The divrei hamatir, The ones who say that when you have the shkita of the mother's matir the ben tet chai, over here will be asur. This ben tet chai can never be eaten. On the other hand, the divrei oser, Rabbi Meir, who requires shkita normally for a ben tet chai, no problem. The shkita of the mother is irrelevant with this regards to this 9-month-old. So the divrei oser, Rabbi Meir, who normally says that the mother's shkita has no impact and you need a separate shkita for this behema, you can do a shkita on this behema and it'll have its own independent shkita and you can eat it. Because shechita is relevant to this behema. That's Rabbi Ami's position. That by shechita of the mother was a treifa, that the din will actually come out the opposite. Now, according to the Chachamim, you cannot eat this behema ever. And according to Rabbi Meir, you'll do shechita and you can eat the behema. Rabbi Amar, the divrei amatir nami mutar. Rabbi says, even according to the Chachamim over here, you could say it's mutar. Dalit simanim achshir bei rachmana. There are 4 simanim that the Torah allows you to shecht with. Meaning that the behema, inside of the mother, requires that one of 2 sets of simanim be nishchat. Either the simanim of the mother, or the simanim of the ubar. One of those 2 is sufficient to make it tahor. Over here, you shechted the mother's simanim, but it turns out that they weren't good simanim, because she was a treifa. So therefore, the simanim of the ubar are still there, and you can shecht those simanim of the ubar. So he says that even according to the Chachamim, who normally say that a ben tet chai that is found inside the mother is nitar yedei the shechita of the mother, doesn't require its own shechita, that's only if the shechita of the mother was effective. If the mother's shechita wasn't effective, then the ubar still has its own 2 simanim that you can use for shechita. This is a concept that we mentioned before about dalit simanim, achshir bei rachmana. Despite this fact, Tosafot says over here, that the machloket over here between Rabbi Ami and Rava, you should not parallel it with the arguments that we had before. He says, "Vahad itznan." In our Mishnah, "Kara taun shchita." In our Mishnah, where he says you rip it open and it says you need shchita, "Atchia afilu the divrei hamatir." Even goes according to my one who's matir. "Da'acha dafka the divrei hamatir asur de mahani shchita treifa." Because over here, according to Rabbi Ami, the only reason that Chachamim say that when the ben tet chai comes out, it doesn't have any tikkun is because there was a shechita of the mother. But he would agree that if you rip open the mother and take out a ben tet chai, the shechita is going to work on the ben tet chai, because there was no shechita by the mother. So don't think that Rabbi Ami or Rav over here somehow, when they narrow down these opinions, or they give an expression to the opinions of the Chachamim versus Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, that has any impact on the latter half of the Mishnah that says if a ben tet chai comes out of a mother, that it requires shechita, because that's not relevant to our case. Over here we have a shechita of the mother. Over there you have no shechita whatsoever. So therefore over here, even though it's a shechita treifai, will have impact that shechita. Whereas over there there's no shechita, there's nothing to have impact. And also, he says, back when we said, remember, before we asked the question, a person sticks his hand into the innards of a behemah and shechs a ben tet chai inside of that behemah. So one of the memo there is Odilmag Derabana. It should be like Derabana, and that they have Dalid Simanim Akshir Bei Rachmano. That they're Dav Lo Domi. He says, those aren't coming. The Hasrin and Hocha, Rabbanim Mishum De Hocha, Kichetzio Shechut. Depreciate. Aval the Robo, Damar Hocha, Dalid Simanim Akshir Bei Rachmano, Ikalimi Baila El. The Dilma Shani Hatam, Delo Yotzer De Aviolam, Beyasur. So even though Robo over here says that there are Dalid Simanim, nevertheless, that will not answer our question from before. We had a question before. If you stick your hand into a Behema, and you shech the fetus inside of the mother, what's the status of that fetus? So the Gemara gave 2 tzadim over there, the tzad of Rabbi Meir and the tzad of Chachamim. And the tzad of Chachamim, the Gemara said, well, maybe the Chachamim believe there are 4 simanim over here, and therefore it's mutar. Well, shouldn't the answer be, if Rabbi says over here they hold the dalet simanim, we should have an answer to our question over there. Tosfos says, no, I'm mechalek, it's different. Over here, the fetus left the mother. When the fetus leaves the mother, maybe over there it gains independent simanim. That 4 simanim apply, maybe when the fetus leaves the mother. And you could say either the mother's shkita or the fetus is shkita. But while it's inside the mother, maybe even Rava agrees that there's only 1 set of simanim, that's the mother's simanim. So just because Rava says over here that there are dalet simanim for the chachamim, doesn't mean that can answer our question from before. Because the dalet simanim we're talking about over there is in a different situation. That's in a situation where the ubar is still inside, it's in utero. In utero, maybe Rava agrees that there are no dalet simanim. Only when it exits the mother, do we have another chance at shechting the simanim of the fetus. But when it's inside the mother, he would agree that there's only 2 simanim, the mother's simanim. And also, again, Tosfot points out here, Benachanami, Ben Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Resh Lakish, Depligi, Betalash Chelebi Ben Tet Chai. They pluck off, they argue about whether you pluck off the fats of a Tet Chai. You could still ask that question from before. That question about whether if you shecht it inside, is it considered or classified a real behemah, or not classified as a real behemah? Even though Rabbi Yochanan over here says, Chodeshim Garmei, maybe over there that should be a full-fledged shechita when you stick your hand inside. So maybe not, because over here, again, when you talush, when you take out the fats, you're taking it out of the mother. And the Isor Chelev is not chal, possibly until it's born. So that's why when he takes it out, it gets that status of chelev. While it's inside the mother, it won't have a status of chelev. Even though Chodeshim Garmu, even though coming to full term makes it into real chelev, it doesn't have the din of chelev until you pluck it out and take it out. So again, when you do the shechita inside the mother, maybe that's a different situation. Even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that's not a full-fledged behema yet. Because maybe you have to take it out, or avir olam. And even according to Rish Lakish, who says that chadashim and avir olam are goreim, maybe over there, be meimo, the shechita works. Because just like the shechita of the mother works, so too the shechita of the fetus works. What Tosfot is trying to do is to isolate all these questions and say all these different machlokot that we're seeing here are independent of each other. Just because you hold like Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan over here by the fat case, doesn't tell us what you're going to hold by the shechita of the ubar inside. Just because you hold like Rav over here, who says that there are four simanim by behema, that might only be true by behema that exited the mother. Behema inside the mother, maybe there are no four simanim. So it's important to differentiate in all these cases what the circumstance is, and because of the circumstances, we can isolate all the machlokot, and nobody can be necessarily answer one of the other questions, because each one of the questions can stand independently, no matter what opinion you have in the other situation. That's why Tosfos is going through a lot of trouble to show us that all these machlokot that we've seen along that seem to be correlated or seem to be connected, that each one stands independent. Amar Rav Chisda, Ashocheta da treifa umatzaba ben tet chai. Person shechts a treifa and you find inside of it a ben tet chai. Ta'on shechita. It requires shechita. The chayeh bizroa velachayim. It requires, like any other beima, the gifts to the kohanim of the zroa and the chayim vekeba. Vimeit. Tohor milatamei b'masa. If it dies, it does not have tumat nevela. Maybe tumat masa would indicate that it has tumat nevela. If it dies, it does not have tumat nevela. So I'm like, Rav, wait a minute. You have a stira mine oveid here. Your situation is basically an oxymoron. Ta'on shechita. If it requires shechita, come on. Who are you holding like? You're holding like Rabbi Meir. That says, bentet chai requires shechita. V'imeit, tahor milatamei, b'masa, come on. Who's that like? That's like the Rabbana, that the shechita of the mother makes it that it's tahor midei nevela. It's tahor midei nevela. That's why when it dies afterwards, it doesn't have a status of a nevela. So which one is it? Are you holding like Rabbi Meir l'chachamim? So he says, ulitamech. According to your reasoning, hadatani Rabbi Chia. That which Rabbi Chia, now Rabbi Chia, this is found in Tosefta, it's actually a Braita. So, ah, the Tani Rabbi Chia, shochetet the treifa matza ba ben tel chai, ta'un shechita, v'chai bizroa v'chai mekiba, imei tahor min latamei b'masa, ta'un shechita keman, k'Rabbi Meir, v'imei tahor min latamei b'masa, k'Rabbanan. So there, he says to him, listen, what I'm saying is a Braita. It's a Braita that's found in the name of Rabbi Chia, and he says exactly what I say. So how come you have a problem with what I'm saying? But I have a braita that says exactly what I'm saying. Now Tosafot asks the question, well, if it's a braita, why did Rav Chisda say in his own name in the first place? Why didn't he just quote the braita in the first place? So there's actually an alternative girsa over here. It's an alternative girsa. If you look at the Masorat HaShatz, he says that girsa de Rashba, b'shem Rabbi Chia. That tani b'shem Rabbi Chia. It's said over in the name of Rabbi Chia. It's not quoted as a braita in which Rabbi Chia speaks. Rather, a memra that's quoted in the name of Rabbi Chia. So in that case, Rabbi Chisda said the memra, because Rabbi Chia also says a similar memra. It's not that he has a braita versus him. You have two memraot that you're talking about. So that would solve the problem with Tosafot. But if you believe it's Tani Rabbi Chia, that literally this is a braita, that Tosafot says, I don't understand why Tema gave the Shmiel a braita, lame a braita. Let him say, I have a braita. Meaning, why is he saying it over in his own name as a memra? Just say that I have a braita that supports my position. Also over here, I'm sorry, the Girsa before we said Amalei Rava. Rava responded to him, it shouldn't be Rava, because we know Rava's opinion already. Right, Rava said that for Simanim, so there's no problem. So the gears to change here, according to Masar Shaz, this is Rava, which makes more sense, because then Rava, we don't know what his opinion is over here. Obviously, he's objecting to this. Rava, we know his opinion is that there's four Simanim, and it should work. It should work no problem. Either the mother's Simanim or the fetus's Simanim, no problem. So therefore, the girsa here should be, the questioner should be Rabba. Now Rabba responds to Rav Chisda and says, Lokasho, I don't have a problem with that. Rav Chia, I can amend Rabbi Chia's position to say, in Gvar Matzomet, Kamar. It's not that it dies after the fact. It's if it died inside the mother's womb. If it died inside the mother's womb, then it's a ben tisha meit. Ben tisha meit is nitar ayidei shechita of the mother. Even if it's a shechita treifa of the mother, the shechita of the mother will be metaheret midei nivela. So I will explain Rabbi Yechiya's position as such. If the animal comes out, then it requires shechita like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says a ben tisha chai requires shechita. If it's a ben tisha meit, we had in our Mishnah, everybody agrees by ben chet chai, ben chet meit, and ben tisha meit, that the shechita of the mother does work. Even if it's a shechita treifa, the mother's shechita works. Even Rabbi Meir agrees to that. So what I will say is that Rabbi Chiya is consistent in the position of Rabbi Meir. He says, if it's a ben tisha chai, it requires its own shechita. It requires its own shechita. When it comes out, you can shecht it, and no problem. It's not a treifa like its mother. On the other hand, if it's a ben tisha meit, we know the position of Rabbi Meir is ten tisha meit. The mother's shechita does solve the problem of the ubar. Here, it's only enough to be meter midei devela, and that's to be mutar ba'achila. But nevertheless, it's good enough to meter midei devela. And that's how I explain the position of Rabbi Chiya. But you, El Zidach Kasha, you, who's sitting over there, remember, I didn't explain that to you. When I challenged you, you didn't explain to me, oh, no. Imate, tahor. You didn't explain to me, I meant that it was already dead inside the mother's womb. You didn't explain that. So now, according to you, I don't understand. According to me, it's also not a problem. Dalet simanim achshebei rachmono. Chista is saying, I basically have the same opinion. Rabba is later than Rav Chista, but I basically have the same position as Rabba. They have a consistent opinion, which is, dalet simanim achshebei rachmono. Therefore, if the mother's shkita works, go. Good for you. That's the Rabbanan's opinion. But if the mother's shkita is not effective, then you can do shkita on the ubar itself. So over here, the mother shkita was a shkita of a treifa. It was not effective on the ubar. Ubar comes out. You can do a shkita on the ubar, even according to the chachamim. This opinion is of Rav Chista, similar to what we saw in Rova before.
But what if that can get rid of the deva?
If it dies, yes. If this animal never has, this fetus never has shkita done with it, and it dies, it will not be in the vela, because we do have the mother shkita. The mother shkita was effective enough to take away the din of nivela, correct? Rova or Rabba? Rava? No, not according to Rabbi. It's according to the Chachamim. According to the Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami says the only way you can get a fetus, a live 9-month fetus from a mother who's a treifa, was nishkat, to be mutar, is according to Rabbi Meir. Rava comes back and says that's not true. It even works according to the Chachamim. That's what he means. Dalet Simanim says that even according to the Chachamim, I can create a situation where the ubar can have its own independent shkita. And that's what Rav Chista is saying as well. Ki salik Rabbi Zera ashkechei the Rabbi Asi yoti v'kamar le haishmaititu. So when Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Asi that was sitting amalei. This memra, the idea that there is dalet simanim amalei yiyasher. Right, the proper way to pronounce it, and when someone gets an aliyah, somebody does something, is yiyasher kochecha. Right, I know there's a Masoret Sasha, it says yishar kochecha. But the proper pronunciation, probably grammatically in Hebrew, should be Yeyasher Kochecha. Probably the proper Hebrew. Tenamar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds or subscribes to your position as well. Michlal the Poligalei Rabbi Shimon Lokish. So he said back to him, oh, you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds this opinion. Is that implying that Rish Lokish argues on him? So two answers that Margiz is similar in many places, which is, Mishaha Havashahilei Vishatiklei. That Rish Lokish is, the first answer is Rish Lokish is, Minhag was that when Rabbi Yochanan said something that he disagreed with, he used to wait for an hour or two before objecting to the position of Rabbi Yochanan to see if Rabbi Yochanan himself would retract the statement. So he used to wait some time, and if Rabbi Yochanan didn't retract it, then Rabbi Yish Lakish would challenge him. He would wait a little bit. In the interim, Rabbi Asi left, and so he never heard what the position of Rabbi Yish Lakish was. Or, Ikedame Mishtaha Vishati Vishatikle. The other possibility is that when he left, Rabbi Asi left, in this discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish was in the middle of drinking. So he didn't have a chance to respond to Rabbi Yochanan because he was drinking, and in the meantime, Rabbi Asi left. So he didn't know if Rish Lakish responded or not. So Rabbi Asi just said, I said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan because I know that's the position of Rabbi Yochanan. What's the position of Rish Lakish is, I don't know, because I left before I had a chance to know what Rish Lakish's opinion would have been. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are found in Eretz Yisrael. You have Rabbi Asi, and that's why the change in the gear so here is not Rav Asi, but Rabbi Asi. who's found in Eretz Yisrael. So Ki Salek Rabbi Zera, when Zera comes up from Bavel to tell over this memra to Rabbi Asi says, Yasher, what you're saying is correct, or what you're bringing is correct, because I've heard this from Rabbi Yochanan here in Eretz Yisrael. And then he asked back, what's the story? Does that mean that it's Rabbi Yochanan, not Reish Lakish? Rabbi Asi says, I don't have that information. I left before I could have the information about what the position of Reish Lakish was. All right, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says that even if it's walking around and 5 years old, you can eat it. Mar says, I know Tanakamo. That's the Tanakamo. Avrav Kano, Hifris Agabi Karpa Ikubinayu. If it already stands up and walks, that's the difference between the Tanakamo and Rabbi Shimon ben Zurzuri. Now, it's only a difference, midrabanan, look in Rashi. If it already walks, according to the Tanakama, kevin shalach, taun shkita, midrabanan. Midoraita, this is a ben pkua, and it's mutar legamre. It's just midrabanan, we make you do shkita on it, because we don't want it to get mixed up with other behemoth. People are going to see you, this animal walking around, and you're just eating it, without ever having to do any shkita on it. The answer to that is, we do shkita, just to be maritayin. It doesn't look like you're eating without shkita. So that's the problem of maritayin, it's a din derabonon. So that would be the nafkamina between Rav Shimon and Jinzuri, and the Tanakamo. Amra, Rav Shushar, Shiladibi Omer, Choshishim, Lezera Av. This later on in the Masechta, the one who says that we worry about the contribution of the father, ben pikua, you ben pikua bala beimam al yoto. You have a crossbreed between a ben pikua and a regular animal. Havlad ein lo takana. The vlad has no tikkun to it. There's no way to fix this vlad. So Rashi says for a number of reasons there's no tikkun. One, sharei hu kemisha ein lo siman echad. It's as if it only has one siman. One siman is contributed by the mother, one by the father, one by a ben pkua, one by a normal animal. That means one siman is there, and one siman is not enough by a behemah. That's the first thing Rashi says. Number two, Rashi says, as ein lecha shi'a gedola mizu. There is no greater waiting period. By shchita, there's an isur shi'a. Well, the first one of these simanim was already shechted when the mother of the ben pkua was nishkat. Now you're going to shech the second siman of this behemah? That's years later. It could be years later. It could be months later. So that's a shi'a on the shechita. And number three is, the late lay the Rabbi Sharshia Damran the El. This statement of Rabbi Sharshia does not hold of Dalin Misimanin Rachshur Bei Rachmana. That there are four simanim that are nitar over here, because otherwise Ben Kua should have its own independent simanim. Rashi makes three statements over here, those three statements. Tosafot disagrees with all of them. But so it says, I don't understand what Rashi's talking about. Number one, when you have a ben pikua and a regular animal that mate and they produce an animal, it's not that one siman comes from the ben pikua and one comes from the mother. It's each siman has half and half. Each siman has half from its ben pikua and half from the regular animal. That's a problem because you can never get a rov siman. You can never shech the rov siman. The most you can shech in any siman is half. That's not sufficient. You need rov simanim. That's the problem over here. And now he says, afilu leman damar dal simanim achshavei rachmana mode hacha. The reason that Dalet Simanim works over there is because you have a Shechita of a Treifa, it's not a full-fledged Shechita. Therefore, the Simanim of the Ubar are still around to do Shechita on them. But, if you had a full-fledged Shechita on the mother, then even the person who says they're Dalet Simanim, the Simanim of the Ubar become irrelevant at that point in time. So Mesharshi's din has nothing to do with Dalet Simanim. Mesharshi could hold her Dalet Simanim. But once the mother has a full-fledged shechita, that makes it that the ubar simanim are no longer relevant. So that's number two, he argues on Rashi. And number three, he argues on Rashi, is that this issue of shia is not relevant. Even if there was no din of shia, shia by shechita, you couldn't have a shechita here. And that's because Tosfos differentiates between the idea of one siman being on and one off, or doing half and half. And so he says shia is not relevant. So he says about Rashi, v'alkol mugumgam. All of Rashi's shita is a mess, and therefore he offers up this alternative. He also mentions that earlier on the perek, it would also create a huge problem for Rashi. Amar Abaye, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, but Kalut ben Pekua, Shemutar. If you have a Kalut, which is a ben Pekua, that it's Mutar. There's an animal that's born, that does not have split hoofs, and is also a ben Pekua. You shech the mother, fetus comes out, and the fetus also doesn't have split hoofs. My time, komilta de tmiya midkar dechire la inche. What's the problem according to the Chachamim? The Chachamim is that it's a marat ayin problem. From a marat ayin, that people are going to think that you can eat this behemoth without shechita. The answer is, this is an unusual circumstance. People will remember it. This is a behemoth that was both a ben pkua and it didn't have split hooves. So both of them are mutarim. So if they're both mutarim, fine. But they're, but it's such a strange circumstance that people always remember this animal, and therefore you don't have to do it. Ikadar me'amabaya komodim ben kluta ben pkua.
Shemutar.
So it has to be where it's it's non-split hooved animal that's born to a mother who didn't have split hooves, and it's a ben pua. Shemutar. My time, a trait to me, a midkar tekhiriyansi. Two unusual things people remember. So therefore, the question of memory just takes away the aspect of marat ayin over here. Amar ziri amar bechananya, alocha ki Rabbi Shimon ben Zerzuri. The locha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Zeri. Bechen aria Rabbi Shimon Zeri matir, bibino, uben bino, ad kol tzofa dorot. The locha is like Rabbi Shimon Zeri, and not only is this ben bekoa mutar, all its children are mutarim. They don't require shkita at all. Yochanan amar, hu mutar, ubino asur. That animal, ben bekoa is mutar, but its children, its offspring, they are asurim. Adar barchavu avalei ben bekoa. The nafal dubale, he had a ben bekoa that was attacked by a ze'iv, by a wolf. It was a drusa. Ata lekamei de ravasi, and kibrad before ravasi, amalei, zil shechte. Go and shecht it. So he says, amalei, don't we have amar ze'iri, amar Rabbi Chanina, halacha grab shimon ben zuri? That halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben zuri, so that doesn't require, why should I require shkita over here? T'chein aya Rabbi Shimon ben zuri matir bibno ben bino atzov kol adorot. Not only is he mutar, but even the offspring are mutar. Vafil Rabbi Yochanan lo kamar, even Rabbi Yochanan who disagrees with Ze'iri, elo bino, its offspring is this sort. Aval ihu lo, but him himself does not require shechita. So he responded, Rabbi Ashi responds to him, Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan divi Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri kamar. Yochanan is not giving a psak alocha, he's just explaining to you the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri. He's not saying that alocha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri, he's just explaining to you that Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri, when he was matir, was only matir it, not its children afterwards. We do have another memra from the Amoraim that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri. Below old, Allah kol makom shishana Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri. The word Mishnateinu, you can look at the Masorah of the Shas, probably should be left out over here because there are other places in Shas where we have Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri in a brighter, and we want to pass an Allah based on this like him. Allah kimoto, the Allah is like him. Meaning Rabbi Shimon ben Zuri as a Tana, the Allah is always like him. I hold like this memra. Vashi responds and says, you have all these memra to say halacha like Rabbi Shimon Zuri. I hold like this. Amar Rabbi Yonatan, halacha like Rabbi Shimon Zuri. The halacha Rabbi Shimon Zuri, bim mitzukan ubetruvat maser shel demai. Only in these two unique cases. In these two unique cases, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Zuri. Mitzukan. What's the case of mitzukan? It's not. But Mishnah and Gitin, Bishonah, you may say, bekolar, person who's been taken out to be executed. Vamru kidvu get ishti. Write a get to my wife. Hariel yichtavu v'yitnu. Write it and give it. Even though he didn't instruct them to give it to his wife, he didn't make them into shlichim, they're automatically assumed to be shlichim because of the situation, the circumstance there, he's worried about being executed. So he says, write the get to my wife so she won't have to perform yibum. But even though he didn't say give it, it means to give it as well. Chazulamar afa mifaresh v'yotze b'shaira. Anybody's going out to sea or going out on a caravan on a dangerous trip, if he said the same thing, he's occupied or preoccupied with preparations and with the danger of the journey. Therefore he says, write again, it means give it as well. B'shem ben Zuriyo adds on afa misukan. Even someone who is mitoch cholyo, someone who's sick, deathly ill, he says, write a gift for my wife. He means write it and give it. So that's one place where the halacha is like him. And the other place that the halacha is like him is by Trumat Maser Shel Demai. It's not Trumat Maser Shel Demai. Talking about somewhere where it was bought from an Amaretz. We are uncertain as to whether the Trumat or Maseret are taken off. So you take them off again. So here you remove Maser Rishon. And then they remove Trumat Maser from that Maser Rishon. Shechazarim, come on. Then the Trumat Maser falls back in to the Maaser Rishon. It's not Batel, because you needed 100 to 1 or 101 to 1. Timim Vatel Truma. Over here, you only have 99 to 1. That fell back in. So now you have Dimua, mixture of Truma and Chulin. Even if it's a weekday, you can go to the Amaretz and ask him if he took out Truma to Masorot and you can rely on him. Now normally, the Loch is, the Breitah says in the beginning, why it says Chol is because on Shabbos, you're allowed to ask him. On Shabbos, you're always allowed to ask him. If you forgot to take off Shuman Masur before Shabbos, you're allowed to ask him. Machloket and Yushami, why is he Neman? Either because of Kavod Shabbos, your Kavod of Shabbos, or because Emat Shabbos Alav. The fear of Shabbos is on him, so therefore he would not lie in this case. That's the only two places where the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Shizuri. As Tosafot points out over here, V'chein Kaimalam, we must pass in this way. The pasuk kan alocha lemaisa. Rav Ashi is pasuk alocha lemaisa that the alocha is not like Rav Shimon ben Shizuri, and therefore he says, even though Rav Shimon ben Shizuri is the author of positions, we're not going to hold like him by me madikin. There's a position in a Braita in Bamei Madikim, Bidran, or Beneft over there. It's a question, the Girsa over there as well. Whether it's B'Shem B'Kuot or Beneft, that he says that you're not allowed to light with it. But the Tanakam says you're allowed to light with it. And we light with those oils because we don't hold like Rav Shimon Zuri. We hold like this position of Rabbi Yonatan. But the only two places that the law is like Rav Shimon Zuri are these two issues of Mesukan and Trumat Maser Demai, and not in other locations. Okay, with that, we'll stop here.